everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up. And I'm here with my good friend and partner in crime, Big John Georgopoulos. John, I hate to pull you from a Saturday evening, but how are you doing on today's it's not a tragic, it's a tragic day for some, but it's a monumental day in history.
Yeah, well, look, it is a tragedy. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, personal feelings aside about who was involved, it's always horrible when we have to resort to violence to get to our political ends. But, yeah, it is going to be marked down in history as one of those dates.
And for those of you who may not be aware, former President Trump was shot today. He was at a Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. There were multiple shots that were heard during the rally. Then you saw Trump. You saw Trump notice something. Then he kind of ducked.
Right.
And reports are stating there were six shots. Trump was injured in the ear. Sadly, there were two individuals who died. One, I believe, was shot in the head. And John, maybe you know, but I'm not sure if it was two counting the shooter or there were two civilians and not counting the shooter. But at the end of the day, innocent people lost their lives.
Yeah, as far as I know, it was the shooter and then one person in the audience. So that's what's interesting there. I don't know. I think that's it. It's just the two.
Right. So right now the FBI is leading the investigation into this. Secret Service is there. As we said, there were other casualties. The Department of Justice is involved. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. It's like everybody's involved, John. And for people who don't know, John's a libertarian. And as I'm reading this, it's a serious moment, but I'm chuckling inside because I'm like, every one of those agencies failed. The shooter, John, was within – it wasn't like he was a mile away. It's
right.
They should have had that building covered. And I don't know if I texted you the question, but I did ask the question is, nobody's asking why the shooter had a line of sight there and how the Secret Service allowed him to get that close. So a failure amongst all the agencies. It's not the time or place for that discussion, but it's like, well, why do we have them if they don't work, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And listen, obviously I'm not going to interject myself into whether or not the Secret Service failed or anything like that. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. I'm going to preface everything I'm going to say here with this. No matter what I say after this statement, this is unacceptable, right? Again, attempting to kill someone for any reason, I'm not going to make light of it, especially when it comes to putting forth a political agenda. But here's the thing I will say. The whole thing was so surreal that it almost seems like, wait, there's way too many weird things going on here, right? If you were watching it live, it sounded like firecrackers. I was actually watching it with my wife, and she said, that sounds like someone threw firecrackers towards the stage, right? Like, especially if you're not familiar with gunfire, it sounded like pop, 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 right? And it was like this really, you know. And then the other thing I noticed is after he grabbed his ear and was dropped to the ground and he was covered by the Secret Service guys who were shielding him, you know, okay, this is for real. But what was weird, I don't know if you noticed it, nobody in the crowd seemed to move. Like, typically when there's a live shooter, people are scrambling. They're trying to duck out of the way. They're afraid they might get hit, William. Like, I watched the replay several times. Nobody really moved, either the crowd behind him or the crowd in front of him. I mean, I was surprised that there were people mugging for the camera. You know, there was actually guys, like, holding up Trump signs in the front after he hit the deck. And I was like, this is so surreal.
Yeah, and then for that, the fog of war.
That's the fog of war.
It's like when something happens, it's surreal. It's slow motion. You really don't know what it's. There's many times where people after the fact goes, I did that. Really?
I hear you. But like, do you agree with me? Like, if you remember the Reagan assassination attempt, right? The
John Hinckley Jr.
Yeah. The second those shots rang out, and for those of you who weren't alive during that time, those of us that remember it very vividly, I could tell you just about every frame of that situation. there were people who, as soon as they heard their shots, those shots, you heard screaming. There were people ducking. There were people diving out of the way. There were people running towards Hinckley. There were people running away from Hinckley. This was so weird in that nobody really moved, right? And then, as this progressed, William, this was very strange to me. The mic from the podium was still on. So you could hear what was going on in that huddle, right?
I'm not laughing at the shooting people. It's just where John's going. I know where he's going. And from a marketing perspective, you can't make – Hollywood could not make this up because we heard what Trump said.
It was hilarious because he's on the bottom of this pile, right? And now there's – you know, and listen, those Secret Service agents on the stage, William, were doing what they were supposed to. Like I have family that's retired right now that were on presidential detail. You know, they always used to tell me, like, we're trained. Like, you're at that point, you don't care about yourself. It's you cover the president, you cover the vice president, whoever. Your body is the shield at that point. That's the last resort. Right. You're going to stay on. You're going to put yourself between you and wherever you think the danger is coming from, right? So they're trained, right, to stay on top of them, almost like a human shell, right, until right. someone gives the all clear.
Well, right. Well, human shield, literally.
Literally. And there was like four or five of them, or, you know. But what was interesting to me is you could hear the mic, and the mic was picking up, someone fix my hair. Let me get my hair out of the way.
Right, so,
was I right, William? I'm not making this up, right?
Like, no, no. This is what John means by surreal. See, the situation that makes it surreal in a negative way is the fact that we picture things as Hollywood portrays them. And real world is not like that. And so you catch things don't look like you would think they're going to look. People don't act like a scripted moment. And Trump, for better or for worse, is one of this country's premier marketers. And the reason I say that, he went from a millionaire to a billionaire to president of the United States. He transcended his construction business to become a Hollywood icon. I look at him and Paul Logan or Logan Paul, whatever the guy's name, as two of the premier marketers in this country. And Trump was okay. He got shot in the ear. Don't get me wrong. But his instincts kicked in. And I'm speculating. But this is what I'm thinking. It probably went through his head. I've been shot. And all of a sudden, he recognizes the moment to show the audience I'm okay. But at the same time, it's also a moment in time historically. And, you know, his hair, his shoes. But I think the point that he wanted to get across to his base is I'm okay. And him throwing the fist up like that. if you had that picture, John, if you could show that picture.
Yeah, let me get that up for you.
An iconic moment in history. As somebody who's voting for Trump, as somebody who does not care for Trump, the man, but admires him as what he's done economically as president, to me, this is the picture that will get him elected. And guys, it's a tragic event. But once today's gone, they're going to talk about the race, the politics of all this. There is no greater iconic photograph in the history of our country as that is right now at this moment. Whether you hate Trump, whether you like Trump, that is the embodiment of what America is. We rise above it. We take the worst that's thrown at us, and we survive it, and we thrive and say we are better. I have overcome this. And that picture is, to me, what is going to get Trump elected. I think Trump is going to get elected anyway. And off the record, off camera, John will tell you, over the last couple of years, I wouldn't say certain things at first until the evidence was there, until stuff started coming out. And I've been telling John my issues with voter fraud. I've been telling John about my issues with how judges are supposed to act versus how they act, how my concerns are for voter fraud, because my belief is we've seen voter fraud. When I got politically involved 2015, you just innately start to look at things differently from the perspective of an insider who understands the machine. And all that said, this moment, this picture to me is what will pretty much nullify all of that. Because if there's anything that's, that, that is that makes America America is our want and desire to support those who have been wronged. And right or wrong in terms of your ideological beliefs, nobody wants to see an assassination attempt, and they will rally around Trump. Those who are on the fence, Latinos and Blacks, will rally around him. You know,
right.
I don't think you are going to see, John, a push from other Democrats to all of a sudden want to see Biden advocate and find another candidate. Because I'll be honest, going into the Democrat convention yesterday, there were a handful of people who were like, I can replace Biden. There is nobody who's going to want to face Trump now. And people, we're not taking away from how serious this was, because this was an assassination attempt in my eyes. But tomorrow the politicking begins again. John, my thoughts, what's your take on that?
No, I agree with you, man. It's like, first of all, I think Trump was kind of steaming to a victory anyway, right? Like the only hope was that, you know, he would stumble somehow. But,
right,
you know, damn it, man, I have to say, not that I think – now, you know, I think he was going to win.
Hold on, John. Hold on, Big John. Just so the audience knows, John is not a supporter of Trump.
No.
I don't care for Trump, the person, because he's done things to in his business conquest to destroy the little guy, you know. But I have admired what Trump did economically, statistically. That's how I judge presidents. So you're not looking at a 100% pro-Trump person to me, and we're not full-fledged supporters.
And you're looking at a 0% supporter of Trump and me. But, like, that's the thing with me, man. It's like, look, no one should be shot over their political beliefs. Nobody. So to witness this, you're right, it's horrible. What does it mean for him politically? He's going to be president now. That's it. He's going to be president because all these undecided – first of all, there's the sympathy factor even for people who hate Trump. Like you can't be – unless you're completely unhinged, you're not going to say, oh, man, the only thing wrong with this assassination attempt is the guy missed, right? If you're of that opinion, you're deranged, right? And those people don't need to be counted in any calculations. Do you know what I mean?
I got to stop you there, John, though. There's already tweets out there from a Tennessee senator, from another state senator with comments like that. And I put John and I were texting before this. When I got home, my phone had blown up. And even when I saw all those texts, you know, I belong to a couple of fundamentalist groups. I'm not a fundamentalist, but they're conservative. So I politic with them. And they're always bombarding me. So I thought, oh, gosh, they're at it today. And then my wife called me. Trump's been shot. And I was like, holy mackerel. Then I saw all the texts. But I also did some research. See, I pushed, you know, John and others said, well, you know, you got the rhetoric. And I'm like, no, there is no rhetoric on both sides. The mainstream media has castrated conservatives and the Republican Party from any rhetoric, because any rhetoric they use against them to demean them. So Republicans are scared to death of any rhetoric. And all the rhetoric comes from the left. It's Rachel Maddow who says, I fear for my life. If Trump gets reelected, he's going to try to put me in jail. That's the rhetoric. Biden said that he's going to put a bullseye on Trump. These are just words, but all the rhetoric, they compare him to Hitler. That's true. The Atlantic put an image of Trump down with the mustache, you know, the Hitler. All the rhetoric comes from the left. All the rhetoric came from the left when a Bernie Sanders supporter shot the baseball field. They tried to put the rhetoric of when Sarah Palin said a target, and then it came out there were a lot of other Democrats who were using that. So when it came to the rhetoric, people believe this crap. People like John and I, we see beyond it. We see what's politicking. We see the game being played. But there's a lot of people who don't. They truly believe this. That's why, as somebody, you look at my skin. You see Anglo. I'm Latino. My grandmother's black. My cousins are brown skin. I have an Asian brother. He lost his family in Nagasaki. So this is very personal to me. That's why I'm always pushing back to fight the truth. you know? And I'm not saying this rhetoric is why he got shot, but the first thing that pissed me off was, we need to calm down on both sides. Bullshit. It's one side that's always rhetoric. Why? Because the media is ideologically left. And he who controls the media controls the messaging. That's tried and true since the dawn of time.
But
the Romans had the orators out on the street corner shouting down, you know? There's rhetoric on the right, but the rhetoric from the right comes from the outliers. I'm talking mainstream rhetoric from Democrat politicians and the ideologically left mainstream media.
Well, you're without a doubt, there's some truth to what you're saying, but you're also ignoring a lot. Like right now, yes, the mainstream media, I mean, clearly is on the left with very few outposts. You're absolutely right. But in this particular moment in history, you also have to look at social media as well, because social media is what's been equalizing everything, right? When Reagan got shot, right, there was no social media. We had to wait to hear what people had to say, what the, quote, news sources had to tell us, right? So we either saw what happened on TV, and that was it, William, right? We had to wait. We had to wait for the Wall Street Journal to tell us, for the New York Times, for the Washington Post, all the different, you know, and then as you consumed it, you also consumed saying, okay, the Wall Street Journal's a right-leaning publication.
Right? Back then, it was more neutral. It's for the audience out there. John's the first one who educated me as how far leftist Walter Cronkite is. But Walter Cronkite, for the most part, did not bring it into the news. He would with this, because John pointed this out to me, a couple of comments here or there that exposed him. But for the most part, you didn't know. You didn't understand. After, this is my personal opinion, and I told this to John the other day, after the 2000 election, I used to watch Chris Matthews' show. I forget what it was, Hardball.
Hardball,
it was actually one of my favorite shows. I used to watch Wolf Blitzer in the 90s and all that. And in 2000, I saw a change in the media. After the Bush-Gore battle for the presidency. And I saw a complete change, a complete shift on the left conglomerates, which I didn't realize were progressive until the I'm speaking for myself, but as somebody who comes from a third world country, who was a protected citizen as an American citizen in Panama, I saw how dictators use the media. I saw how Noriega and Torrijos used the media, and I saw that shift slowly happen after the 2000 election. So John is right. Social media is different, Those aren't media leaders. Those aren't politicians. For every one that John will point out, I can show you 1,000 on the left. That's my take on it.
Everyone lives in their own bubble, right? So
not me. I used to watch CNN. I used to watch Hardball.
No.
I used to watch all those shows.
I don't disagree with you, but what I'm trying to point out, because for example, I was listening to Austin Peterson and watching his tweet stream today. And I thought he was very disingenuous.
Hold on, just tell the audience who Austin Peterson is.
Austin Peterson, he used to be a libertarian. Now he's a Republican. Now he's a conservatarian. I don't know what he is now. He has a radio show, I think, local to St. Louis. He's like a Republican / conservative talker right now. He ran for the presidential nomination against Gary Johnson on the libertarian line. I think he's run for Senate in Missouri. I forget. I think it was as a Republican or as a Libertarian. I forget. But he's one of these guys that goes back and forth depending on how the wind is. But lately, he's been very, very pro-Trump lately. And he's, you know, he's not afraid to say that. But he was saying things like, you know, this is what happens when the Democrats talk their crap. This is what happens. You know, and he was saying stupid. And this is where I kind of push back. And I try not to do it too much in this type of context, because the most important thing is a man was shot today, right? To me, that's still the most important storyline, you know. But now if you kind of break it down, because you and I can't say a man got shot for an hour, so now we're going to look underneath it a little bit, William, and we're looking at these reactions now. Now, I agree. For every, for lack of a better term, leftist or progressive that you're going to say, oh, shit, you know, they missed, right? If someone says that not sarcastically, but is trying to say that as a point, they are to be condemned and to be ridiculed and ostracized. That is a horrible statement, right?
But they're not. They're not condemned. That's my issue.
But I think – I don't know if they are or not. I know that the people who see it who are outside – like, so
– John, this is where I push back, though. They're not because the mainstream media won't go after them. You see, that's why – I told John this the other day. My issue with this country, my country, I said it as if I wasn't part of the country. I was born an American citizen, but I was raised in a Panamanian culture as an American, meaning I got a hot shower, I had a running toilet, I went to American school. But my whole life outside of my friends at school was because of my mom. This is who you are. This is your culture. And we were always going to visit the relatives. So I see it from different perspectives. And they don't get ostracized, and they should be. But the media will not ostracize them because then the media has to ostracize themselves. John, I'm going to repeat myself a little bit, but it was the media – with the Democrats pushing it, who framed Trump as Hitler. It was the media, including the Democrats, who said he's a danger to society. He's a danger to democracy. And I get angry because I'm like, they're the ones who are politically persecuting Trump. And my point in that is going to the one case where everybody in history got a slap on the wrist and a big fine.
Right.
And they're looking how to get him. You know, it's the media who lied about his policies. It's the Russia hoax that they lied about for years. It's Hillary and all these politicians who wouldn't accept the results of 2016. And then they call everybody in 2020 election deniers. This is unheard of in our history. We can't have this. You know, it was the Democrats who, and I'll give you a specific example, who canceled this rodeo clown for wearing an Obama mask, calling it racist. And it turns out the rodeo clowns always wore that current president. It's the media who has framed Trump supporters as terrorists. You know, it's the media who's claiming that Trump will go after them. So it's a one-way street. They should be ostracized, but the media can't ostracize themselves or they're out of a job. So the status quo remains. There's a lady right now who tweeted and she's backing it up, meaning – don't get mad at me. Trump's a racist. She's saying this right now. Trump's a racist. He's this, he's that. He's not. You look at Trump's history. Trump became a racist when he went down the elevator. And as a Latino out here in California, and as the whole country is now seeing, they aren't sending us our best across the border illegally. You know, they're sending drugs. The cartel's using it. They're sexual. They have lost track of 80,000 kids. You know, over the last 6 or 8 years.
Yeah, but
my
but
point
see,
is
not
to belabor
not,
it. My point is to show it's a one-way street. If they want to work together like they used to in the 80s, you go back to some of those videos of these Democrats who are in power today, John, who were the youngsters back in the 80s and 90s, the Schumers, the Pelosis. They were more blue-collar. It was a point where we all had the same goals. It was how do we get there? Now it's about destroying your enemy. And that's rhetoric has led to. I'm not saying, John, my final point before you jump in, I apologize, but I'm not saying this rhetoric is why he got shot. But then again, I'm saying it had a lot to do with it. Yeah.
You know? Well, look, and here's where I think, listen, as you know, I always say to myself, I have no horse in the race, right? So I have no horse in the liberal conservative race. So I like to think that I could take a step back and kind of look at it and kind of laugh at it until it turns on me, right? So it's like,
right.
and you know as well as I do, my first reaction to anything is to make a joke out of it. You know that, right? Like, so my first reaction is to always make a joke out of it. So, like, my first reaction to this on my personal tweet stream was, now we'll find out which conspiracy theorists have integrity. That was my joke, right? Like, now we'll find out which one of these conspiracy nuts have integrity, right? Because up until now, that world has been ruled by people who are pointing their theories at the left, right? Let's face it. It's largely the Alex Joneses, the QAnons, like the flat earthers, the we never landed on the moon, all these guys, right?
I brought that up too today. I said, we got a moon landing conspiracy, the JFK, now we're going to get the Trump conspiracy.
Right,
and it's
right.
Now, there was a prominent state legislature who's black, always plays a race card, who was kind of denying this. And I'm like thinking, two people actually died. And you're saying this is set up?
Well, but see, that's what I joked about because, you know, like I've had people – now, for those that don't know, I was at the foot of the World Trade Centers on 9/11, right? So I saw the planes hit the buildings. I saw the buildings collapse. I saw people die. I saw people fall out of buildings. I saw people catch on fire. I saw the firemen that went in. And I have to deal with idiots who talk about thermite paint and people working at 2 in the morning when everyone's asleep. And none of these people seem to realize those buildings never closed. They were open 24/7. There's a global business going on in there, right? You can't pull that shit off. But that aside, so I know what it's like to have to listen to idiots talk to you about conspiracy theories when you've lived through with it. I had one guy tell me, you didn't live through COVID. It was all a hoax. Right?
I got COVID. COVID's real. I mean,
no, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right, William. So what I'm trying to point out to you is, yes, I do acknowledge the traditional mainstream media has always had a leftward bias. And you, like you brought up the Walter Cronkite story that I told you about, right? It's always existed. Would have to go back to the 50s or the early 60s to find a conservative bias in mainstream media. Like once the college protests started in the 60s, that's when it shifted, right? Because all those kids that were journalism students became the people who went into media. So by the end of the 60s, early 70s, that's when it had shifted, right? So
right. Well, I don't think it's shifted, John. I think we've always been leftists, not in a bad way. I think we grow up wanting to save the world, wanting to help our fellow man. That's more of a liberal mentality in my eyes.
No, what I meant was I was saying in the media specifically. I was saying the people.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that's what everybody's heart. It just has deformed and warped and become evil since Walter Cronkite. But I think the media's always been liberal. They just kept it in context.
Well, what I like to say is when you and I were growing up, say, or becoming politically aware, as especially for me as a teenager, say, my high school, and by the way, I'm repping my high school wearing my Bronx Science t-shirt tonight because I didn't have time to change. But
And for the audience – John went to one of the most elite high schools in the country. He went to the high school that they made – no, I'm proud of that as your friend. That he went to the high school they made that show out of, head of the class.
You're right.
John's not a dumb person. John's really smart.
No matter what I look like, right? But the point was that I always thought in the 80s, like, look – at one point, one of my summer jobs was working at the penthouse of Abe Rosenthal. Now, for those of you that don't know, Abe Rosenthal was the editor in chief of the New York Times. So I would, and at one point I'd be working on his patio, you know, because we were in construction and landscaping back then, and it was a summer job for me. But I would talk to him, and I would just give him shit because I was a young guy. I didn't know any better. I'd say, oh, you and the Times and your leftists, you guys are Pravda West. You know, I'd give him all this crap. And he would just chuckle at me because it was good-natured. But back then, if you asked me, where do you go to get facts? I would tell you, go to the Gray Lady. You go to the New York Times, right? And I would always tell people, right? You would tell people, they have their facts, just their opinion is horseshit, right? Like you would tell them, like, they're all leftists. So when you look at something, and I used to say this, I'll be the first to say, right? They would refer to far right extremists, but they never would refer to far left extremists, right?
The word extremist That's the other thing that bugs me.
Was always paired with the right, okay? So without a doubt, there was bias. But back then, I never doubted that when the New York Times told me there were three shooters, that there were three shooters, right? Or that, you know, when the economy improved 2% or inflation went up 6% or whatever, I never doubted their numbers. Like, their integrity to me was still whole, right? Their opinions meant nothing to me, but their facts still had sway over me. Now, especially with social media, and again, I think it's holistic. I don't know what the hell is true anymore. I don't. And I consider myself an educated person, and I can look at these facts, and I can read facts, and you keep getting bombarded with nonsense that looks very original, okay? So I think when you start to look at it, it's, yes, the mainstream media is still very much on the left, but I think the media scape as a whole, where we all get our information from, whether it's X, whether it's YouTube, Rumble, whatever – it's much more rounded, but I also think it's more and more distrustful, not for its opinion. Now it's the opposite of the 80s, right? Before I said I could trust the facts in the 80s, but nobody's opinion. Now I trust the opinion because people, I think, are more open to say how they feel, but I just don't trust, I can't trust anybody's facts anymore. Do you know what I mean? So, like,
right,
for example,
right. Yeah, you have to do your own research.
Well, and again, that's limited, right? Like, how are you and I going to do firsthand research on the shooting? We can't. We weren't there. So now we have to pick the resources that we feel are trustworthy. Well, how does that trust go? It's built over time, right? It's built on reputation. So when people say I've done my own research, it just means you're reading somebody else's content for the most part. Like when you say I do my research on vaccination, you're just reading somebody else's opinion. You and I are not virologists. You and I are not DNA RNA specialists. So we don't know the difference, right? We're just reading right? I mean, to a large extent.
Well, hold on.
To a large extent.
I'll get pushback here. If you notice, a lot of my tweets and people out there who follow us, 90% of my tweets when I start talking about this is I blame public school. They don't teach us how to critically think. When I do my own research, that's a big part of me is to critically think. What makes sense? What doesn't make sense? What doesn't make – and when I say what makes sense, doesn't make sense, meaning, hold on, they're saying this here, but then they say this here. Or this evidence points here, or this evidence points here. Or there's also the film. When I say do your own research. So, for example, right. An example I gave was Andy Biggs having his 2020 some kind of hearing. And I'll give you the example to the audience in terms of voter fraud. When they on the server, they had not deleted anything in many election cycles. They were subpoenaed, do not touch these records or these files. And the ones that weren't specifically under the subpoena, all of a sudden they deleted. So as I told Big John the other day, I said, am I screaming voter fraud? No. What I am screaming is massive red flag. All of a sudden, they don't delete them for every other election cycle, and they all of a sudden decided to delete them this cycle, the cycle where there are But hold on. That is doing your own research. It's not necessarily – and you have to come to your conclusion. Does that mean every time you do the research, you're going to come to the right conclusion? No, but that's why – I stopped thinking like that, and I started thinking red flag, investigation.
So let me bring up some stuff that I'll give you examples on, right? And this isn't to – I'm not doing this to really bust your hump too much. You know, this is just for a point of contention where we're discussing right now. So let me add – let me see. Okay, so this is Alex Jones, all right?
Okay, yeah. But Alex Jones is an outlier.
No, I understand. But he's an outlier because, look, I'll show you this tweet. As of
while you're showing the tweet, check your messenger, please.
Yep, I saw it. The thing is, 1.3 million views of Alex Jones in under 2 hours. Okay? 1.3 million. That's how much – at times, these mainstream newscasts reach. That's what I was trying to tell you, right? It's not just the mainstream. And look at this nonsense he's throwing out there. Emergency. America's now under globalist attack. More assassination attempts imminent. The deep state's next move is false flag, civil unrest, and martial law. This is a maximum alert. More updates to come. At Elon, get to your bunker immediately. This is a live coup. Now, do we really think that Alex Jones has information that the U.S. government doesn't?
Well, here's
that's
the problem
what I'm trying to say.
Well, here's the problem, though. First of all, those 1.3 million are people who have sought Alex Jones out. ABC, CBS, and NBC still get about 6 million per night, 6 to 10 million viewers a night. The mainstream media is called the mainstream media because that's where the average person, if they want the news, that's where they go to.
No doubt.
CNN, for example, during an emergency, won't get 1.3 million. They'll get 10, 15, 20 million during emergencies. Regular telecast, yeah, you're right. Alex Jones does better. But Alex Jones is the outlier, you know. Then you also combine MSNBC, combine CNN, combine CBS, ABC. You're looking at 50 million people.
You know? I understand. And who's the number one news channel right now?
Oh, Fox, but not by much.
No, but
and
I mean,
even then, but Fox is not a conservative station. It used to be at one point. It hasn't been conservative for a while. You, I'm a conservative, and I tell you that. You know, in fact, I don't really look at any of the newscasts out there anymore because I don't trust any of them because they're owned by the elitists. And when I say the elitists, I'm talking about just the conglomerates. I mean, OANN is whether you like it or not, was a small startup. Boy, they did everything to destroy them. They did not want OANN. It didn't matter whether you believe their broadcast or not. They weren't going to the norm. You know, they were going more to the conservative bent. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm like, there's red flags. And again, take it from somebody who saw two dictators. My issue with people like Big John at times is you're too Americanized. You think that shit don't happen here. But us immigrants, well, I'm not technically an immigrant, but my immigrant friends and me growing up, we can tell you these are some of the signs. And those signs are there. It's kind of like voter fraud. And I keep going back to voter fraud because it's become an easy example. In California, to the audience, when you get a driver's license now, you're automatically registered to vote, whether you want to or not. That's not just California. That's various states. So they are giving illegals driver's license. You don't need the illegal to vote anymore. You just have the name on a database. Red flag. Am I saying voter fraud is going to happen? Personally, I think so. But publicly, I wouldn't sit there say it's going to happen because you need the evidence still.
Let me reel you in a little bit, right? So if we just focus on the media and number one lead in this story, a man got shot at, I should say, right?
A former president got shot.
Yeah. Bullet number two, two people, one innocent person died at that rally. I don't know if it was a male or female just yet. But talking about your research, I'm going to show a graphic image right now. So if anybody up there has their lunch or just ate or something, or if you get squeamish at blood, look away, and I'll let you know when to look back. All right? 3, 2, 1. Here's the – supposedly, this was on Twitter.
Oh, shit.
It's been making the rounds. It's the supposed gunman, alleged gunman, okay? Now, you and I are looking at this, William. What kind of research are we going to do as to whether this is valid or not? And I'm not saying it is or it's not. Don't get me wrong. I am literally saying this is the image on Twitter that is making through several handles, is making the rounds of this is the alleged shooter. Okay?
But, John, that's not news. That's just somebody who got a picture is trying to capitalize on it.
No, but I'm saying, is it real?
No, I don't know. But what do I always tell you, John? From day one, what have I always told you? When the crisis happened, I said, I'm not going to talk about it because it's a one-way street. You can't say anything without being demagogued or you're wrong, you're this. But the evidence started to come out. Same thing with these So my take to the odds would be, it's a picture. Don't look into anything at all because, one, it's not telling us anything. It's a picture to grab your attention. And even worse, it's a picture to make your emotions boil over. And and John will tell you I'm very emotional, but that's why I hold off. I hold off on stuff because it's easy to be emotional. But I did start to get irked at some of these comments. And it's funny because the left is so okay with demagoguing, with lying, with saying this, saying that. There's about 3 or 4 tweets. They've been deleted because of the pushback. Like, oh, heck, I guess I went too far. It's like, you went too far because you're comfortable with going too far every time.
FYI, I just took the picture down. So if there happened to be one person watching us who was upset at blood, you can look again. I took the picture down.
But Big John, I apologize. What was your point, though? I apologize.
My point is that this is the time for opportunists, right?
Yes,
on both
yes.
sides, right?
Alex Jones.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Alex Jones is one opportunist. I heard Biden's statement in terms of what he said. Look, stuttering aside and everything.
You're talking about bullseye? The bullseye statement?
No, I'm talking about post the shooting. He came out, and I thought he did it wasn't like super like something to be remembered for the ages, but he said all the right things. But I thought it was interesting that at one point someone in the press pool said to him, President Biden, who do you think is behind this? Or something to that effect, you know, like who's behind it? What do you think? Who do you think the shooter was? Something to that effect. And he said, I don't know. Or he said, then he followed up very quickly. He says, I have an idea of what it was, but I won't say until I have confirmation or something to that effect. In other words, he was about to tell you who he thought was behind it. It seemed that way. And then he caught himself and he said, but I won't say anything until I have facts, right? So I don't know. See, I don't know, William. What do you make of that? Like, do you think
I make of it this way? He was given his little script, and thank God for the White House, it was before 10 p.m. at night, because Sundowner had not hit him. But I don't take anything out of it. It wouldn't matter to me if he was Republican, Democrat, or whoever it was. They say what is politically correct to say. But what did bother me are the people who are saying, yeah, we're not sure this is an assassination attempt. It's like two people are dead, whether you want to admit it or not. That's an assassination attempt.
Well, it is. Anyone who's saying it wasn't is you're right. I agree with you.
Oh, and John. Yeah, it wasn't just Biden who said that. There was a Guy Benson on Fox. I'm not a big Guy Benson fan. He's more center. He's more established of a type. He's like, you know, and I think this he didn't question it, but it's like it's obvious to all what it was. But that's what I'm talking about, the media. Like, you know, it's like the media, they look at how they portray certain things versus telling us the facts. And the fact is simple. Somebody was on a rooftop. They took a shot. I mean, honestly, John, do you think that assassin's like, well, I wasn't trying to hit President Trump. I was trying to hit the guy on the left who owes me $20. He didn't want to pay.
Look, anyone, and I saw some of those CNN screen caps that people had. If those were accurate, that CNN said Trump falls during campaign or something like that. Like, I mean, all right, that was. If those are legitimate screenshots, I don't know, but I'm assuming they were. Ridiculous. Like, why would you even – but I have to tell you something interesting. I don't know on your cable provider, but on my cable provider, all the major news cable channels are all in a row on the dial, right? So going from one – you know, I was clicking forward and back between all of them because I said I knew if William and I can get our crap together in time to do an emergency show, I'll have something to talk about. So CNN was talking – CNN did not use the word shot for a good hour.
That's what I'm talking about.
They were saying it's an incident. And here's the thing.
Secret Service incident. Secret Service interruption.
Well, what's interesting is they didn't say shot for about an hour. But what was interesting is when they were playing it back on the audio, I have to tell you, it sounded like firecrackers. It didn't sound like gunshots, okay? Then for example, I go to Newsmax and – those people were basically in tears. Like, they could just not, how can anyone do this to President Trump? He is like, oh, my God, you know, almost like Jesus had just been crucified.
But at least that's real. But hold on, John. You're making that reaction as if, like, they were on the other extreme. You know, a former president, the leader of the free world, was shot. That is a moment where you should be sad, at least. CNN was playing politics. It doesn't matter if they're supporting Trump. It's any president who got shot. I would have been like, what the fuck? And I don't like the curse, and you correct me on that, but that's how I would have been. Instead, CNN doesn't want to say they're being shot.
You don't understand. I'm saying that the professionalism that you were referring to of just giving you the facts on the news, it still doesn't exist, no matter who you listen to. And when I was going through it, like, for example, I heard that Donald Trump Jr.'s statement, you know, that, hey, I spoke to my father. He's doing well. I think he said something along the lines of he appreciates your prayers and blah, blah, blah. And had to tag it at the end because this is where I said the opportunism, right? Tags it at the end. This is something that the radical left does or something to that effect. Like he managed to throw in the dig on the left. And you're thinking
that's
to yourself, it's like
you expect and it's politics.
Well, that's the part B.
My point to you is that's just a terrible example to give because it's a son. If something happened to your son, I don't think you would be the most right down the middle. Well, you know, it's that burglar was stalking.
I wouldn't mention it at all. I wouldn't mention it at all.
He's public.
I wouldn't mention it at all, right? I'd be like, thank you for your prayers. Yes, this was a horrible thing that happened to my father. I hope they catch the guy. Oh, and by the way, here's another thing.
But, John, that's to your point. That's to your point. That's today's social media.
I agree.
Reaction today is because of how today's politics and how today's news. Because I think when we were kids or in the '80s, it would have been my uncle or you know,
right,
my uncle got shot. You know, it's like I need to go be with my family. I don't have time to give you guys comments.
Right.
So that's been lost. And you know what, John? To your point. That's a little bit of our soul has been lost in that sense.
To some extent. Yeah. But see, I like the way we're framing this because the closest thing in our lifetime, and when I say our lifetime, I'm saying yours and mine, William, right? For our younger viewers, it's not their lifetime. But we went through this with the Reagan, with the attempt on Reagan's life, right? And slightly different. Yeah. Except that Reagan was a sitting president when he got shot. Trump is the next president.
That was John Hinckley.
John Hinckley Jr. was the one who shot Reagan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Chapman was now, Lennon. Duh. Sorry, people.
Yeah. So my point is that it was slightly different in that Reagan was a sitting president. But what was interesting was when that happened, nobody said, was he a Democrat or a Republican? Was it a rightist or was a conservative or a liberal or a leftist or an anarchist or a fascist? That never was in the dialogue. It was always like, who is this guy that shot the president? Like, that was the general question, right?
But, John, that's my whole point with the 2000 election. When the 2000 election happened and all that happened, that's when I saw the media make a noticeable, we don't give a bleep anymore. This is who we are. This is the side we're rooting for. That's when that change happened. So the media is indirectly responsible for today's social media. If the media leads with demagoguing, demonizing, and as to all the silliness of all this, meaning to what you were alluding to with the far right, with the Alex Jones types, I'm not going to argue otherwise, but when you got Rachel Maddow saying that, when you got people on CNN saying it, that's where it starts. When it's okay for them to do it, then why isn't anybody else going to capitalize? And I'm not saying Alex Jones is an innocent person in all this. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is when it comes from the people who are reporting the news to us, then how the hell else do you expect the rest of the social media news, the new
Well, that's to some extent, this is where you and I diverge philosophically. You know what I mean? Like you view it as, well, if someone's using that tactic against me, it's fair game for me to use that tactic against them, right? Like, I'm not. But by the way,
history shows that works. That's how you get the other side to stop.
Wait, ring
any bells?
No. But what I'm trying to say is that's an approach, okay? It's not my approach, right? For the most part, like, I tend to eschew that, right? Because I don't believe in becoming what you hate in order to get rid of what you hate, right? So it's like I personally, it's distasteful to me personally. I'm not saying I don't understand your point, but like just to let the people know, this is where we kind of like diverge, right? Because I'm like, if someone's being an idiot and you know, propagandizing and lying and misrepresenting, I'll call it out. But I won't resort to the same tactic to do it.
Well, see, you're misconstruing my words. And I've always told you this. I go, you fight fire with fire, but you fight it with the righteous truth. And that's the difference here. It's like, you want me, it's like, I don't want to pick that knife up, Mr. Enemy, but you're waving your knife in front of me. So I have no choice, but I'm still not you. I'm doing this because I have to, and I'm still going to do it with the truth. See, that's what irks. See, and I told this to John off camera the other day. I said, you don't understand. I don't care which side, because the Republicans have the establishment, the swamp, whatever you want to call it too. I just want the truth. If the truth, I used to believe the truth shall set you free, but then Obama changed that for me. Like, there was a guy who sat there and lied and was able to lie to make it look like the truth with the media's help. He's the first president that ever got the media's help like that. And in the media's defense, I mean, they went through 8 years of Bush before they got to Obama, and they tried to prop Clinton up. But back then, the media was still going through that change. You know, they still weren't. They were still trying to show that they don't have any bias. But with Obama, it completely flipped. So my take is, you fight fire with fire, but use the righteous truth. And the disagreement I had with John is John would be enslaved for generations, his family, him and everybody, because those are losers. Eventually, you got to pick that knife up. That's just how the world works since the dawn of time. That's how the world's always worked. The strong always take from the weak. Sometimes, this is what I tell people when they talk about Christians. Oh, that's not very Christian. Like, oh, you ever heard of the freaking Templars? You ever heard of those people who were created because the Muslims invaded Europe? And they were fighting to free the lands that the Muslims had taken. Now, that doesn't mean the Christians were saints. I mean, the Christians are, you know, the Vatican has been involved in government. I mean, I think part of the reason we had the Dark Ages, John, I'm being half humorous when I say this, is because the freaking Vatican was involved in governments that kept us in the Dark Ages at times, you know? But my point is, you have to stand up and fight. It's like the bully. Sometimes you just got to stand up and, that's why we're in this mess. It's we haven't stood up and we've been demagogued. And let me rephrase what I said earlier. It's like when I see Maxine Waters using her vile language, when I see Rachel Maddow, the reason I get mad is if a Republican uses that language, they condemn him. They ostracize him. They try to destroy them. But they turn around and use that language all the time. Obama. Take a gun to a knife fight. I mean, so that's when I get angry. That's when I'm like, Republicans, where are you? You need to fight back. But they don't. And that's what leads us. I mean, let's be honest. When have the conservatives taken out a politician at this level? It's not. It's the Democrats, the Bernie Sanders supporter, and now this guy. You know, and I'm being presumptuous. We don't know. Maybe he's a guy who's pissed off that Trump didn't build the wall. Who knows? You know, I mean, as silly as it sounds, demented people are demented for a reason. Well, it's a liberal.
Well, you don't know if it's a liberal. You don't know if it's a communist. You don't know if it's an anarchist. You don't know if it's a socialist. You don't. Right, we don't know. Or maybe it's somebody apolitical. I don't know.
History has shown us you are correct to make that statement, but history has shown us it's usually the enemy who tries to take out a figure. Now, except for RFK, I mean JFK, who we don't know who took him out yet. You know? Speaking of that, John,
yeah,
here's my other concern. Yeah. Here's my other concern is RFK wanted Secret Service. He did it. They talked about removing, Biden talked about removing Trump's Secret Service. Gretchen Whitmer has signed into law, you can't question the election, meaning even if there is fraud, by law, you cannot question now. These are decisions that are made or contemplated. There's only one potential scenario. It's not that they wanted RFK shot. It's not that they wanted Donald Trump shot. But when you pull the Secret Service, or they talked about pulling it, why would they do that?
I don't know. That's one that baffles me, right?
Like, you know why. It's just we don't want to admit it because it puts us at a level in human terms that we just don't want to think about, that somebody would pull it hoping that their opponent would get shot. I'm not saying that, but that's what it leads to.
No, I don't think
that. What else could it lead to? No, well, give me an answer then. Don't tell me I don't know. Give me, what are your thoughts as to why they would want to pull RFK, or not give him Secret Service, or why they would pull Trump's Secret Service?
Well, they didn't pull Trump's Secret Service.
They didn't,
right?
But the fact they talked about it.
Who talked about it?
Somebody obviously said.
Who talked about it?
Fox reported it, and Fox reported it today, and I had heard that before, but I blew it off. I'm like thinking, no.
Yeah, first of all,
hold on. First of all,
Fox
no different. No, you right. Can't sit there. See, this is my issue with people like you. You choose to believe certain things in the news, choose not to believe certain things.
No. What I'm saying is it doesn't make sense because by virtue, if nothing else, that he's a former president, he has Secret Service protection for life.
Exactly. But that's my point is, why would they even talk about it? Why even talk about it?
Well, you're, again, see.
The Biden administration, as reported by Fox today.
First of all. When you say there's a policy in place and somebody reports that they're talking about revoking it, that should be a red flag to you, right? Because that's like saying they're deciding to cut off the red flag is the validity of the reporting. Because it'd be the same thing.
No, of course. And you're right. I did not believe it until Fox
right. That's all I'm
it.
Saying.
But hold on though. And the reason I believe it is because they did not give RFK Jr. Look,
well, I think
I know you don't like him. I don't.
No, but what I'm saying is, The RFK issue is a separate issue, right? And I think the RFK issue, to me, is a little crazy because the guy is polling high enough to be considered a valid candidate. Now,
correct.
Is there some technicality that he doesn't have enough ballot access to reach 270, which means he could never win the election? I think that – but again, take it in the context. How many other third-party candidates in the past have received Secret Service protection? Chase Oliver doesn't have any.
Difference.
Jill Stein doesn't have any.
Yeah, but you're not the Kennedy name, and you've had history with two assassinations.
No, no. I'm not saying I agree.
Everything is not black and white.
No. But I'm saying it's not like I agree with the decision not to give him protection. And certainly after today, he should be getting protection. But what I'm saying is let's not pretend that this is, like, unique, that RFK is the only third-party candidate to never get Secret Service details assigned to him, right?
Actually, it's happened before. Stop. See, that's a pushback I'll give you. I don't care about what third-party candidate. This is a Kennedy with history, good or bad. I view it mostly as bad.
I agree with you.
Two assassinations. So it doesn't matter what you say about other third-party candidates. Oh. This is different. People like to say, well, they never gave it to other third party. None of them were RFK.
Understand that. But there's a difference between I don't understand why they're not doing it for RFK and then saying that there's some grand conspiracy to somehow get RFK shot. Which is what your statement implies, right? You're saying, like, well, if he doesn't have
they're it. Okay. Because- yes, I am. They're okay with it. And it was the Federalist also confirmed it. And the Federalist is one of the conservative print publications that is pretty good and pretty on top of stuff with the
confirmed what?
Sources.
What did they confirm?
Federalist.
What did they confirm?
That the Biden administration turned down the Trump's camp's request for increased Social Security.
Secret Service.
Yeah.
Oh, so they turned them down for increased.
Yeah. Well, obviously, today showed they had a valid issue to do it. And my question and my point is they don't ever do this with leftist candidates. It's like give them what they want. It's always – those who are I can't say always. It's just been.
No, I don't know. See, you're making a statement that I don't know because you know you're saying a leftist.
Well, that's why I just said it.
I don't know.
But we do know for RFK, they said no, and we just found out.
RFK, they said no to absolutely, and I think that's horrible. I think that and the levels will be different, right? But I think any candidate that has a mathematical chance of winning the election should automatically get Secret Service protection.
See, I'm actually I'm like, it doesn't have to be a mathematical chance of winning. If they can affect the outcome of the election, they should get it if they request it. Because if you can affect the outcome,
nobody knows that, right? How do you quantify that?
That's so you err on the side of caution. It's the taxpayer. Look, see, this is my issue. When they come out, well, you know that's going to cost money. It's like, I'm going to be frank here, my sailor time. Fuck you. We sent billions over everywhere where we shouldn't be sending it. Now, all of a sudden, you're worried about a few million dollars to protect somebody? Our politics have become so tribal, so reminiscent to me of the two dictatorships out of Panama. I don't put it past. That's why I'm like, there is no other reason to withhold Secret Service from RFK and to say no for more Secret Service for Trump, except for one conclusion. You're okay if something happens to them. Because why not err on the side of caution? Because we're not talking billions now, John. We're talking our deficit. Trillions are wasted elsewhere. And now you're talking about saving
that's like I won't get into the dollars and cents of it because I don't know if it has a place here. But the truth of the matter
is – that's always one of the considerations they tell the
public. Well, of course, at some point. But again, you're also talking about a bureaucracy. You're acting like bureaucracies don't operate in this manner. They do all the time.
It's a bureaucracy, so they shouldn't care about the money. They never cared about the money
before. No, but I'm saying bureaucracies have ways of doing things. Try going to the freaking DMV at any point. No matter what you have to say, logical, illogical, you know, they'll stick to whatever they've been told to stick to. That's the meaning of bureaucracy, right?
You're talking bureaucracy. Politics at this level is not bureaucracy, John. It's not bureaucracy at this level.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. Biden, the Democrat Party, it's not bureaucracy what the Democrat Party wants to do to Biden. Strip him of being the nominee and insert their own person. That's not bureaucracy. Those are elitist playing games. My issue with the whole Biden thing is they had a primary and the people voted. Now the elitists are saying, we don't care about the primary. We don't want him. And they don't want him, not because, oh, the poor man's got dementia. We just found out. They always do. They don't want him because the polls aren't just going slightly south. They're talking landslide, and they don't want to lose. So that's not bureaucracy. Those are elitists getting involved. Decisions like Secret Service is not bureaucracy. That's what they may hide behind. But there's a person making a decision. Bureaucracy is the DMV, Mr. Schmuckatelli, doing his job. Sorry, I can't do that. And I've dealt with that bureaucracy at the DMV. Yeah, right. We all have. You know, that's bureaucracy. At this level, it's not bureaucracy. There's a big difference.
Well, again, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you in terms of that. I don't think that someone is rooting for someone to be assassinated. I think
I'm not saying they're rooting for it.
That's the stuff of like nonsense.
I'm not saying they're rooting for it. I'm saying, well, if something happens, okay.
Listen, Trump has security detail, and as we saw today, there's a lot of it. It's not just like four guys surrounding him, right? He had like loads of security, just like the SWAT the Secret Service guys. What are they, counter-terrorist react, the guys with the SWAT, with the automatic weapons, whatever they're called, right?
Yeah,
I counted at least a dozen Secret Service agents around him.
Well, hold on, tell me what you told me. John counted five women. Trump does not discriminate.
Yeah, Trump.
Now, of course, a couple of them could have been linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers there.
Yeah, I noticed that as the limo pulled away, there were about four or five female Secret Service. And they all looked the same, by the way. Like short, dumpy, wearing like bulletproof vests. So I said, oh, I guess Trump must be on that liberal DEI train right now because
I don't believe women is Secret Service that. Only because of the physical strength.
Well, the other thing I started to laugh at was when they were trying to – like I said to myself, I said, I feel so sorry for those Secret Service agents. They're trying to get a guy who's being shot at off the stage and into an armored vehicle so they could get him out of danger. And Trump has to stop and pump his fist and yell, fight, 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 and wave at the crowd and lead the USA chant. I'm like, if I was a Secret Service guy – and you could hear some of them, again, through that live mic – you could hear some of them very faintly say, Mr. President, we have to get you out of here. And he was just sitting there waving at the crowd and doing
and they're being polite because they had the authority to just drag his ass off.
Of course. Well, again,
they were being polite.
I'm comparing it to the Reagan attempt. That's the last moment that I have as a reference. If you remember when Reagan got shot, there was one guy who had gone in the limo ahead of him, right? He pulled Reagan in by the seat of the pants. So as soon as he heard the shot, he yanked Reagan in. As soon as Reagan fell into the limo, one guy jumped on top of him because they were like, hey, this door's going to be open for another split second. I got to make sure no stray bullets bounce around in here. And as goofy as that sounds, the bullet that almost killed Reagan, where did that come from? It was a ricochet. It ricocheted off the armored vehicle door and hit him while he was in – and that's why when he got hit, he didn't know he was hit, right?
Right.
Then you remember the other Secret Service agent, the one guy who totally, like, flattened out and said, I'm the target now. And he got hit, if people remember.
Unfortunately,
I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
And then what happened to the other Secret Service? Like, the famous one of the guy with the Uzi that he pulled out of his vest, right? He had the Uzi. What did they do? They tackled Hinckley because they said, we don't need another JFK situation. We want to take this guy in alive, figure out who he is, so they just all piled on him.
And you're right.
And what happened? That armored car pulled out of there. They didn't care if they were running over ladies, babies, and strollers. They didn't care. They had their route to the hospital. They were taking off. And nobody was getting in the way.
Yeah. But I mean, don't make him sound like bad guys. I mean, they have trained.
No, they were doing their job.
They're not going to run over people.
William, I'm sorry. Let me finish. What I was trying to say is compare that scene to what you saw today. Literally, these guys had to beg him to take. I understand, but you're still dealing with a president who was shot. And by the way, people are
No, see, this is where you're wrong again. You're acting as if they're all supposed to act. They're supposed to act a certain way. Every situation is unique.
I'm not saying they should have acted a different way. I'm saying compare the absurdity of what you saw today.
That's where you're wrong. You view it as absurd from your couch. You're not there. It's surreal. It's a fog of war.
Wait a second.
Ever judge anybody. I found it humorous because what they said is, and I don't know if I believe this, but he was trying to assure the audience that he'd be okay.
He
was cementing the fact that I've been shot at. Ain't nobody stopping me now. It doesn't matter. But those Secret Service people are trained to do their jobs. What I found humorous was the one secret, and I'm not knocking him, but I could turn it around. Yeah, the one Secret Service guy was like, dude, cover your body over him. You're like deciding to put, should I put my hand up here?
No, but they were trying to
cover him. They failed.
You didn't find it funny that these poor, I felt sorry for the Secret Service because they have to deal with this guy, right?
I don't feel sorry for them. Not in a bad way.
I feel sorry for them in that the panic that must be going through their heads. Because what's the one thing no Secret Service agent wants? Somebody to die on their watch, right? Somebody that
But see, they don't think. They react. That's why I found the one Secret Service guy so funny. He's like, here's President Trump's face. If you're looking at a field, the guy's putting one arm here, then he does the other arm.
Yeah, because they were
on him.
Well, they were trying to tell Trump to huddle down and let's get you off the stage. But
they were wrong on that. That's where you just grab the man it's not just his life; it's their lives too.
So hold on.
It doesn't matter what Trump and Trump was reacting. Are you trying to tell me Trump was like?
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But like I said, it's an absurdity, a surreal absurdity. It doesn't mean that I think people.
We got some comments here.
I'll bring them up in a second. Hold on a second. Okay, so
I'm so into this. I didn't see your commentary.
I saw it. I was waiting for you to take a breath. All right, so. Well, he's got three comments. Let's throw these up. Jim Norton's alcoholism. The Secret Service fucked up. And then they didn't have a line of sight to the rooftop, which, that's probably right. And then finally he says the people the people on the ground saw the gunman before the Secret Service, whose job it is. So, first of all, thanks, Jim Norton's alcoholism for tuning in to the show. And hopefully, I don't know if people realize this. Jim Norton and I used to do shows at Sirius together. Our studios were literally 10 feet apart. So,
I got to ask you because I discovered 6 months ago that Jim Norton came out and admitted, hey, I like chicks with dicks. Is that true or not?
He's married to a transsexual. He got married to a transsexual.
God bless him for at least admitting that. Now, hold on. So Jim brings up two good points, or the alcoholic Jim here is if they didn't have a line of sight to the sniper, how did they take him out?
Well, so it was one of the perimeter guys that we said aren't there to protect Trump, right? So they said it was one of the perimeter guys.
So they did have a line of sight.
Well, not the Secret Service guys on the stage, I think, is what Jim Norton's alcoholism said. Agreed. So if you listen to the audio, because once I heard that he got shot, I went back and listened to the audio of the clip. And that's why initially when you heard the gunshot, you heard pop, pop. Then there was a slight pause. Then you heard pop, 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 pop. And that's what my wife said to me. It sounds like somebody threw one of those firecrackers.
John, I'm sorry. Let me address that. I live in the rural area. I've been around guns. I have an AR-15. I have a Ruger. I have five guns. So there are times where we'll hear something. Because we're out of the country. You can shoot legally on your own. And we're oh, man, boy, a gun went off. And there sometimes we'll go, I'm not sure, honey. It may have been a gun, but it sounded like firecrackers. So depending on the round, depending on the gun – And from television, depending on your speakers from your old TV and the camera, there's so many variables. It may sound like firecrackers going off. I meant to point that out earlier because here I've experienced it firsthand where, and then the next day you always hear about it. Yeah, they were shooting up here or down there.
I agree with you. But like to the ear on the TV, listening it back to it, right? You could hear that it was like two shots. And then there was like a slight pause, and then there was like a almost like a rat tat 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 tat. It was more like pop 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 pop, right?
And so I'm aware of what happened. Was that possibly the good guy shooting back at the
yes,
bad guy?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that's what happened at that point. And the last comment here from Jim Norton's alcoholism. There's a video on X where the Secret Service sniper is trying to get a bead on the gun, but he isn't able to. Yeah, I don't know if that was the particular one that the video and the picture is, because there's a picture with the sniper, like, just, holding his weapon, pointing it somewhere. So we'll see. And what's interesting is, initially, there was that confusion. Oh, and by the way, Jim Norton's Alcoholism, thank you for watching the show. Hopefully you'll subscribe and catch us every week. We have tons of shows there, so thank you. Thank you for watching. But here's the thing, right? Like, to me, it was like I told you earlier, right? It's also the reaction of the crowd, because to me, there was a lot of it. So if you watch it, and I studied this as quickly as I could, Zapruder-like, almost frame by frame when I first saw it, William. So camera-wise, right? So if you're looking at me right now on this live stream, there were some people like in this corner in that rally, right? Like a couple of people. When you heard the shots fire initially, these people immediately turned, let's see, that way. Right. So they turned in the direction that it turns out the shots came from. And they kind of saw something there. The people like right around here at the rally all turned this way. Right.
But you can't tell where it's coming from.
So initially you were looking at this. Right. So initially when you look at it, you're like, well, where are those goddamn shots coming from? Right. And by the way, these are the seeds of conspiracy theories. Right. So.
Right.
2 years from now, you're going to see people who are going to say, wait, was there a second shooter over here? Why are these people looking over here? The shooter was actually up here. Why are they looking over here? Was there some Antifa dude here shooting at Trump too? Then there's guys in front. Like, so the people who were lined up below the podium, they were waving back at the cameras. They were waving at the hard camera like this.
Yeah. Well, I can answer that. So
it's crazy.
About a month ago, a transformer blew out 100 yards from my house.
Yeah.
So I go down there and I'm talking to the fire. So what do you think happened? He's asking. I go, it sounded like it's coming from this one over here. I'm pointing behind my house. It was actually the one right in front of my house. And for the record, I'm not condoning what Trump did. Trump should have jumped down, but I think Trump saw that moment. But it's the fog of war. We don't know how people are going to react. We're not in that situation, and it's scary.
When it comes to Trump, William, there's no fog of war. I give him credit for this. I hate the guy. You know that. I have no love for Trump. But I will say this. There's no questioning how quick that guy's mind is, right?
Well, exactly. That's what happened, I think.
I am convinced. The second he figured out he wasn't hurt, like he got a scratch. Well, who is that?
This is Trump.
Oh, Trump's bobblehead doll. Okay.
Yeah, Trump. He was not going to be denied.
Right. Yeah. I'll be back. But, the thing was, like, I know his mind was like, oh, man, this will make a great campaign poster. Like, you could almost see it in his head, right? Fight.
Exactly. In fact, I texted
and by
you,
the way,
the audience,
that,
I texted that, John.
Bell. Yeah, that picture of him underneath the flag coming off the stage with those Secret Service people, please come. And the woman of the bunch, who's like half as tall as Trump is under his armpit trying to get him down the stairs in a way. That picture might as well have been Iwo Jima. If you had told me, how can we stage a picture to make Trump look freaking awesome right now, I couldn't have done a better job than what that picture turned out being, right?
No, right. Hollywood could not have scripted this.
No, you're absolutely right. And by the way,
and we're talking political. We're not trying to change.
Absolutely. Yeah. But if you're a leftist conspiracy theorist, This is all crap that's going to get woven into your bullshit narrative, right? Because
it started, John. It's already started.
I believe you.
And we're talking to elected politicians, and they deleted them.
You know? I believe you because the reactions were so what I would consider atypical of everybody. It's atypical what happened there. So I could easily see this being woven into some bullshit narrative. Listen.
I told you something terrible.
What's that?
My wife reminded me about 6-8 months ago. I said, you know what, babe? It's going to take a freaking political assassination Trump survives to get past all this.
Really?
Yeah, she reminded me of that earlier.
So maybe you did it. I don't know. Jim Norton.
Well, that's because I
don't like Trump either, but that picture's iconic now.
Yeah, and Jim, that's what I told John. I don't know if I told John or my wife first. I was like, that picture is what's going to get Trump elected by a landslide. That picture, this attempt, has completely changed the "we want Biden out." Now they're not going to find anybody to want to replace him because, logically, this could be a landslide victory. Again, I am concerned with voter fraud, you know. But that's then I joked to my wife months ago, honey, Trump's got to get such a big lead to where there's not enough voter fraud ballots out there.
So what's interesting, William, and I think we have 2 minutes before all our live streams. I'm not wearing my glasses, so is it 11?
We're at 116. We're at 116.
Okay, so I think we may actually be coming up. We're coming up on our live streams.
15 minutes, yeah.
No, we've got about 2 minutes left, I think. So here's what we're going to do. Let's wrap it up by saying to everyone out there, thank you for joining Fired Up. Actually, I'll let William close the show. Because this is his show. He's the host of Fired Up. So, William, why don't you take the wrap-up right now?
Well, before I forget, if you guys are libertarians or you just love good political talk, check out John's show, Free For All. He just had a great interview with the Secretary of State of the Libertarian Party and all the hoopla that's happening with RFK and their love-hate relationship with their official nominee. But for all conservative talk, check out Fired Up. Weekly. In fact, I've got a show in the queue right now. We talk conservative politics every week, and that's Fired Up. You find that at Grumbly's Media, along with our Points on the Board, another political sports show that I'll pump up because I host that with our Red, White, and Rude, my entertainment political. See, to me, politics is in everything now, and those are three shows I host, but we have sports shows, and we have other shows on this, so check it out at grumbliesmedia.com, on various platforms, YouTube, Rumble, Google, Spotify, Pandora, and Apple, under the profile Grumblies Media.
All right, everyone. Have a good night. Peace.